When activists from the environmental group Natural Resources Defense Council visited a KFC last year, they weren't looking for an 8-piece meal.
Hey, honk if you like chicken! Oh, hooray!
In the NRDC video, an advocate in a chicken costume called out KFC for buying chicken from suppliers that use antibiotics even when the birds aren't sick. Public health groups say abuse of antibiotics is breeding resistance in bacteria and weakening our medicines. I'm Nicole Irwin.
And I'm Lisa Gillespie. At Baptist Health Hospital in LaGrange, Kentucky, Dr. Rusty Ellis shows me what he relies on to treat his sickest patients.
Oh, these are IV antibiotics. It's just a clear fluid, or your Capricin, that's a good example. Pop the straw in there and have at it.
Ellis's patients come in with staph infections and sepsis. Most of the time, he can find a replacement treatment. But it's not as easy as it used to be.
And then this is Levaquin. Still works in some instances, but it's becoming fewer and fewer pathologies that we actually use this in.
Levaquin is an antibiotic once used on chickens. When it lost its effectiveness, the Food and Drug Administration banned its use on animals. Dr. Ellis can't make a direct link between the resistant bacteria and the farms in the surrounding county, but he knows it can happen with any livestock use.
Whatever you're giving your cows and so forth, those bugs can become resistant. I mean, it's not any different than us.
Those bugs can then leave a farm via manure runoff, on cars, or even via human touch. It's such a problem that the World Health Organization held its first summit on the subject last fall. The WHO says resistant strains of bacteria can increase the likelihood of death and make people sicker for longer.
Unfortunately, I have firsthand experience.
What?
Yeah. Several years ago, my entire immediate family was infected with an antibiotic-resistant staph infection known as MRSA. It's not something we usually bring up, but my parents agreed to an interview because they want people to understand how something like MRSA can spiral.
So do you guys remember when we had staph in the house?
Unfortunately, yes. Seems like once it got in the house, everybody in the house got a taste of it.
That's my father, Bucky Irwin. We both went to a primary care physician concerned the boils on our skin were drug resistant. 2 years and countless antibiotics later, an infectious disease specialist told us we had a topical strain of staph. The sores were embarrassing, and we didn't know what to do at first. Now that we do, we can joke about it a little.
Rub-a-dub-dub, let's scrub in the tub. Come on, Mama, throw some bleach in here.
Get out that HIPAA cleanse and let's scrub down.
That was also my mother, Nancy Irwin. After we learned to sanitize everything, we also learned to laugh about it. The boils from staph stopped popping up. The scars, however, are still there.
In 2015, the FDA found that about 60% of antibiotics given to animals were also used on people. Now the FDA has a new regulation to deal with this. Farmers can't feed their livestock medically imported antibiotics just to make them grow bigger anymore. They can still use antibiotics to prevent disease, but only with a prescription from a veterinarian. Health advocates still question whether this rule is enough to prevent the next superbug, and it's not yet clear how farmers will respond. Lance Roassa is a veterinarian and lawyer in Nebraska who has studied the new FDA rule closely. He says it will have varying effects on farms depending on their livestock, with cattle farmers likely having the hardest adjustment. Roassa says there are lots of steps from a farm to your steak or burger, and a number of small independent operators.
A lot of these operations are small, and it's going to take time and money for veterinarians to write these veterinary feed directives.
I wanted to see how farmers might get by without using these antibiotics. So I traveled to Calhoun, Kentucky, where the landscape is mostly farmhouses and chicken houses.
If I'm trying to listen for, I'm trying to adjust a thing on the feed motor or line, and I can't hear the click because they're being too loud, I'll just yell, "Ha!" And then I can hear it.
That's Nancy Butler. She was born on this farm, and 20 years ago turned to chickens, one of the biggest agriculture moneymakers in this region. Butler sells about 200,000 chickens a year to Purdue. Not one of them is raised on antibiotics.
There's so many people that are making that choice to go antibiotic free because we have a lot of sickness in this country.
Purdue says the details of their growing techniques are trade secrets, but Butler's farm shows that chickens can be produced efficiently and humanely without antibiotics.
These chickens grow really fast. It's the conditions. It's the right air, the right temperature, the right feed, the right clean water.
Eric Christensen, Senior VP of Marketing and Innovation at Purdue Foods, says this has been a long journey.
fundamentally, the challenge was, if we can raise healthy chickens and healthy animals without using antibiotics, then why wouldn't we?
This is where the industry is divided. Some farmers want to end all use of antibiotics. Others say some use of medically important antibiotics, as the new FDA rule allows, is okay. For instance, Tyson Foods and their farmers will only go as far as the mandate.
But public health advocates say the new regulation doesn't cut it. Matt Wellington at the consumer safety group PIRG says medicines important for human treatment will still be used on animals that aren't sick to prevent disease.
We want them to commit to only buying meat from farms that do not raise animals with the routine use of antibiotics, and so only reserving these drugs for treating sick animals.
But that puts vets in a tough position.
The U.S. isn't the first country to tackle this problem. Denmark took action 20 years ago, like the FDA is now. Carl Peterson at the National Veterinary Institute in Copenhagen says animal drug use is down.
Maybe the reason for using these growth promoters were more on tradition, that there was really not the need for it as the industry had thought.
The best news, Peterson says, is that resistant bacteria has decreased in Denmark since the rule took effect.
Of course, farms aren't the only source of the problem. Overprescription and improper use of antibiotics also contribute to resistant bacteria. So whether we're doctors or patients,
farmers or foodies, we all have a role to play in stopping superbugs. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Nicole Irwin.
And I'm Lisa Gillespie.